Well, good morning. Glad we're all here. Hopefully going to have some fun this morning, and some might say it's at the expense of the events that didn't take place yesterday. But hopefully we can look within ourselves and see that we too need to be very loving, thoughtful, helpful, and obedient as we serve God. So, get that lighter side out of the thing. Can you imagine what it's like for the wife of that one man? She comes to him and says, "No, honey, just because you told him that it was going to be the end of the world and it wasn't the end of the world doesn't mean it's the end of the world." So, Matthew 24. "Oh, hark, no one knows. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving up in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken and the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them their food at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. I tell you the truth, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose that servant is wicked and says to himself, my master is staying away a long time, and he then begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with drunkards. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and in an hour he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." This is not the first time that someone has predicted that the Lord will come, and he didn't come in the fashion predicted. Story, talking with different people, you know, in these days prior, wondering, what do we think about all this? I was reminded of a story of a Quaker, Alan Jay, and this might be a refresher for some of you, and others be a new story, but it's a good one, because Alan Jay, young, impressionable, 12 years old, and he had gone to some teaching and had heard that Christ was coming on a certain day. And he was kind of all over the place emotionally, trying to think, well, what do I do? How do I handle this? What is going on? Because the morning of the day, his father came and told him, "We need wood for the winter. I know it's getting toward the end, but we still need wood. We need to go chop wood." And Alan Jay didn't really say anything and just was looking troubled. And the father kind of asked the mother, you know, what's going on? The mother had a little more insight into the matter. And she said, well, he has understood that today is a day of Christ's coming, and he is not sure what to do about that. Well, the father went in and tried to assure him that the father too, in his life, in his boyhood, had heard of days when Christ was coming. And he says, "I don't know. It could be today, but I do know that we need wood. And today would be a good day to do that wood." And so this young lad was left to himself. He went out toward the wood, sat down, and waited, but he was close enough that he could hear the ticking of the family clock. And noon came, the appointed time. 10, 11, 12. He was still there. And all of a sudden a peace came over him, and he went and chopped wood. We need to be about the business of chopping wood. The scripture tells us to be prepared. Well, how do you do that? Well, you continue to love each day. You continue to serve each day. You continue to do what God has appointed you to do each day. That's what we do. We chop wood. We do those things that we're appointed to do. Now, if Christ tells you to do something, if Christ tells me to do something, I want to do that. I want to be obedient in that. There have been some times in my life where it's just been sort of out of the norm, and the one that I'm going back to is waking up on a Sunday morning, and I'm telling Gene, why don't you take Chip? You guys go to church, Sunday school. I've got to go see Grandpa. Well, it's a little out of the ordinary. It's not that I don't love my grandpa and I wouldn't want to see him, but usually we go to church. But I said, no, today. So Gene said, well, we'll all go. So we got up and went and packed off and went to Grandma and Grandpa's. And it was in the spring where the river was breaking up, and so I wanted to take Grandpa down to the river. And so I took him, and we went, and Grandpa was at a stage of life where he wasn't saying a lot. He didn't say much before that, and so it was even less. But we went to the lookout, sort of the spillway area at Steamboat Rock, if you can picture that in your mind. And that was where we fished a lot, and I caught my first walleye, and I showed Grandpa, I thought, what's this fish with teeth? And so it was kind of a special spot, and we were there a while. And he didn't say much. We went back, visited a little bit, went home. In that week, Grandpa went to the care center in Eldora, and the next week he died. Would it have been the end of the world if I had not obeyed? No. But would have I missed a blessing if I had not obeyed? Kind of a weird thing, but you just do it. Now, if God had said, I need you to get on a plane and fly to Germany to see, you know, someone, that's when I need to sit down with my wife and some other people and look at sort of the scriptural context of this whole thing and find out, what is it? A clearance sort of thing. And Quakers used to be very good at that, and I would encourage us to be better at that, as when something comes up that we gather, wait before the Lord, and find out, what does this really mean? You know, if it's a change in lifestyle, if God's saying, Arlen, you need to go to Germany and live for the next 5 years. Really, I'm not that good that I would just kick up my heels and go. I'd say, wait a minute. So, I do have some empathy for persons involved in this, but it seems like the answer is quite obvious, that when it says no man will know, it isn't that God's going to sneak up and tap Arlen on the shoulder and say, just for you special, I'm going to tell you. It says no one. So, I'm curious as to why, and some of it is because of the mystery of life. We all like to know the answer to mysteries. I mean, I've probably been there, and you have too. You're reading a novel or something. You might skip back to the last chapter just to see if you're going to hang in there. But God's saying it's a mystery. You won't know. You don't have to know. And yet we really struggle at these things to try to know. What good is it going to be to know? Because regardless of we know or not, we're supposed to be prepared. We're supposed to be doing things that are very obvious. You and I can go through Revelation and other portions of Scripture, and we can try to just debate it out, and we can come up with things, and we can come up with numbers, we can come up with dates, we can come up with unique things. But is it the truth? Is it, again, man-made, or is it God-driven? That story about Alan Jay was back in 1843, if you want to know. So it's been happening a long time. And this was from the Millerites. The Millerites were pretty big on it for a while. And that time, when it didn't happen on that date, they said, oh, it must be tomorrow. So everybody gets their white things and they get old, and so, oop, it's not tomorrow. You know, God just told me it's going to be September. Well, folks, at some time, we've got to realize that Scripture is true. We don't know. What I do know is if you spend some time in the first part of Matthew, it tells us how to treat one another. There's no mystery in that. There's no, what does that mean? When it says forgive one another, it means forgive one another. When it means love one another, it means love one another. When it says don't bear false witness against somebody, it says don't bear false witness. That's all pretty cut and dried. I can see all the truth in that. But we really kind of struggle, you know, kind of sort of go at a gnat, as they say, and we swallow the big stuff. So for the fun side, I grew up at a time when a lot of this was really going along or getting out, and there were movies out. There's a movie called A Thief in the Night, and it was a great movie, and I just applaud those that did that. There were books out, The Late Great Planet Earth, and that was good, but those people kept having to sort of, well, maybe it's coming later. So one thing that has to happen, according to some people, is that we have to know who the Antichrist is, right? The Antichrist will come, and then that will help us know when the end times are. Well, okay. There were a lot of theories around. Of course, I'm going way back. But one of the first ones that got me was I was in college. And we knew who the Antichrist was. And it wasn't going to be long before Christ was coming back. Obviously, because we just saw the, Thief in the Night thing, and we were reading this book, and I didn't think about this one, but I was reading a book called The Rapture, and I was just getting to the part where the rapture was coming. I'm reading, all of a sudden, I'm in my dorm room, and this huge flash of light just goes out the window, and all the lights go off. I gotta go. And so I'm running out of the hallway, and everybody else is kind of, thinking, what's going on? And found out that the main transformer, it was during the winter time, and the main transformer had got so laden with snow, heavy snow and stuff, that it snapped and blown the transformer, but it was quite a light show. So, but we knew who it was. You knew too? Yeah, Kissinger. What happened was, you take the alphabet, and I just started a little bit here, A, B, C, and you take that satanic number, 6, and you put it on each of these numerical value things. So if you want to write it on your paper, you can see that you go A, B, C, and all the ways up. And the numerical value of Kissinger is... Yeah? Henry's dead. So, it wasn't Henry Kissinger. Ronald Reagan. Do you see how you can figure that one out? Yeah. There's six letters here. There's six letters here. There's six letters here. It's him. He's dead. Hitler, if you want to figure that one out, Hitler back way late 30s and early 40s was also figured on. I didn't write that one up here as much, but if you take A, if you give an A, and you give it the numerical value 100, and so B is 101, C 102, and keep on going that way, if you then you take Hitler and add up those six letters, those 600s plus all the other numerical things, it comes to 666. Shocking. Oh yeah, he's dead. But I knew these people. They're trying way too hard. They're missing the obvious. I figured out who the Antichrist was. So, if you take the alphabet and go this way, obviously everything gets one numerical value thing, adding up. So Z gets 26. I knew. The devil wouldn't go forward. The devil would go backward, wouldn't he? Exactly. He would go backward. And if he did that going backward, he would double our confusion and take it twice as many numerical value. And so, I'll try to not reveal this to everyone until we're done, but I found out who the Antichrist was. It's Barney the Purple Dinosaur. I knew it. So if you take the alphabet and run it backwards and duplicate the numbers and add up the numerical value of this Barney the Purple Dinosaur, 666. Barney's off the air in syndication, so. So I just, like with Kissinger, I remember we went to Bill Griggs. I said, Bill, we know. And Bill says, well, how do you know? And we said, well, this guy said a numerical value, da, 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 da. What do you think? I think somebody had a lot of fun with numbers. And I could probably take my name. I maybe could take your name. And find some way to run numbers to make it happen. Because I was able to take numbers and manipulate them the way I wanted to and come up with Barney the Purple Dinosaur, is that a fact? Well, numbers are facts. No, I came to a conclusion. I came to an opinion. I came to a man-made formula. Just as in these other things, it came to a man-made formula, a conclusion. You and I are meant to come to the Lord for service. And so if God speaks to you, and if he would say to you, I know the day. I would say, well, then you better run, not walk, run to a fellow Christian, share with them, run to the Bible, and get reacquainted with the idea that nobody knows. And you dismiss that. Because there are other spiritual things out there trying to confuse us. So I can give you this truth today. Look at that scripture. Because that scripture speaks mightily. It speaks mightily about the fact that no one knows. And you could walk away with that and say, okay, that's the strongest truth. I think the strongest truth in there is to be prepared, to serve every day. That's the strongest truth in there. Not to worry about things, not to do anything more than, Lord, what would you have me do today? Because if I am not the faithful servant, then I read those last few verses and I realize what happens to those that aren't faithful servants. And I can be a faithful servant. And I can reap the joys that's talked about in that scripture by being a faithful servant. And I can see what happens to those that do not. But that's where we need to pray for each other, encourage one another. When something comes to us, seek that special spiritual friend you have, seek others, seek the scripture, and find out what it is before we move forward. And albeit I have said it, and I still do empathize with those folks that put that out there, and it didn't come true, I'm a little angry with them also because of what it makes Christianity look like to the rest of the world. That we almost deal in a magic, deal in a type of thing that isn't founded upon faith. Friends, you and I need to be founded upon faith. I mean, you can have dates, you can have numbers. I think that's one of the things that I'll always carry from Paul. He says with, you know, facts can lie, and liars can make up facts. So, you got to be careful of numbers. But you got to have the fact, and that's in the scripture. You got to carry out faith, and we need to be obedient. So let's be obedient this way. Let's figure out what we can do. There is no secret in the scripture about loving one another, being humble to one another, thinking of others as better than yourself. That's not rocket science. That is realizing that Christ needs to live in me and I need to let him live through me so that things can change. It's never in my strength. It's never in your strength. It's in the strength of Christ that things get better. So may it be for you. May it be for me. And hey, we'll see you next week.